So, welcome back to episode 2 of the ADHD UK podcast. I'm Max Davey.
And I'm Lauren Jennings.
Yes, same team, two episodes running. This is quite something. So we've put out our first episode. Peek behind the curtain, folks. We've not actually, we're recording this before the first episode has, I believe the kids say, dropped. we don't therefore know what the response has been. But we're hoping everyone is, let's just pretend we've been garlanded with awards and everyone thinks it's the best thing ever. How are you, Lauren? You all right?
I'm very well, thank you. How are you?
Yes, I've actually been a bit ill, but not in a way that is in any way suitable for a podcast. So let's move on. I'm all right, actually. It's Easter, just coming out for Easter. So there's a little bit of a slight pause in the work schedule, which is very pleasant. My youngest son is doing his GCSEs, though. So it's there's a bit of low level nagging going on that we're having to kind of constantly check.
I see.
He's actually doing his work. But there you go. It's going to be a very lovely Easter and and the spring is springing, which is so good. It's so much easier to feel good when you get the occasional bit of sun.
I've just learned what a spring equinox is.
Oh, yeah.
So I know that's just happened. So
yeah,
it's we have the sun and, oh, I'm going to say it wrong now. The sun and night, the same time.
Yeah, same length.
That's it.
it's significant for pagans as a kind of religious festival. They get very excited. Not that I'm not particularly pagan myself, but yes, there's lots of stuff that goes on at Stonehenge, I think, and various other places. Yeah, it's nice. It's sort of, and then the clocks went forward last night, which is awful in the morning, but nice in the evening. Suddenly it's still light, 7:30, which is really great. So what we're going to do today, Lauren, rather than just chat about the weather, we are going to hear from the junior ambassadors. Is that what they're called?
Yes, it's the junior ambassadors. They are absolutely incredible. So the junior ambassadors are anyone under 18 that still wants to become an ambassador and still wants to use their voice to create change. And the junior ambassadors that we have three junior ambassadors at the moment, and they are absolutely incredible.
Yeah, no, they are. We're going to hear from two of them today.
Yeah.
Summer and Hannah.
Yes.
And do they all rhyme? Do you have to rhyme with that to be a junior ambassador? That's the question.
It's Summer, Hannah, and Oliver.
Yeah, they all rhyme.
Yeah, they all rhyme.
we'll hear from them. No further ado, because I'm a bit prone to ado, as you know. We'll put on the junior ambassadors, and then we'll see what they have to say.
Great.
My name's Chris Hercombe. I'm an ADHD UK ambassador, and on today's episode, we're going to be talking to our junior ambassadors. Now, for those of you who are unaware, the junior programme is open to anybody between the ages of 16 and 18 years of age. And as with all of our UK ambassadors, our five goals are information, support, research, advocacy and awareness, and positively changing what it means to have ADHD in the UK. Now, we currently only have three young ambassadors, but I'm sure after listening to this podcast, you will agree that it's definitely a case of quality over quantity, because these guys are incredible. So I'd just like to introduce Summer, Hannah, and now start with you, Summer, if you don't mind. Can you tell us a little bit about yourself and how you became an ADHD junior ambassador and just what it means to you?
Of course. So I'm Summer, I'm 18 years old, and I'm ADHD UK's first ever junior ambassador. I became a junior ambassador because I wanted to turn everything I've been through with ADHD into a positive. So I started speaking about my experiences on the radio and online and in my community, and ADHD UK saw the impact it could have. And honestly, it's one of the most best things I've ever done.
That's amazing. What about you, Hannah?
So my name's Hannah, I'm 17 years old, and I decided to become an ADHD UK junior ambassador really when I joined pageantry. It's something that really opened my eyes up to raising awareness for things. And before, I got really badly bullied in school, especially for my ADHD, and I really wanted to kind of talk about it, to, you know, really just like encourage other people out there, like you can embrace your ADHD. And I also really want to raise awareness, like, of how misunderstood ADHD can be, especially, you know, in schools. Is it is something that has really impacted me in my childhood growing up.
Oh, that's amazing, thank you. Yeah, I mean, what I find so incredible about all of you guys is just that within the Junior Ambassador Programme, the level of maturity and resilience and the passion you have, you know, not only in the awareness you're raising about ADHD, but also the advocacy. And also, I know you've done some fundraising between the two of you as well. And I've said this before, but I think as Junior Ambassadors, you're in such a pivotal position, you know, to make a positive change for young people with ADHD or who are struggling potentially with having ADHD. And I think that's so empowering, and you guys should be immensely proud of yourselves. Anyway, so as your work, being a junior ambassador, what sort of fundraising and community work have you done?
I'm someone who, like, when I'm doing fundraising, I really like to push myself outside my comfort zone. And to fundraise for ADHD UK, I've done a 5K at Edinburgh Marathon Festival, which is, it's quite a big running event where I live. And I'm someone who hates running, absolutely. I don't, not for me at all, especially on a warm, sunny day up a really hilly course. And I really just wanted to kind of test myself, because it's I'm raising money for a cause that is really close to my heart, and I was able to raise about £600 for the charity. So that's something that, you know, it was really rewarding after it. Even though I hated running it during the time, it felt really good. And I've also done other little stuff. I've done little raffles, giveaways, and I've got loads of other plans to fundraise coming up soon.
Amazing, thank you, Hannah. What about you, Summer?
I've done some school talks. I've been doing some awareness events, radio work, and just mainly community projects so far. So one of the most meaningful parts that I have been doing so far is with one of my ADHD projects. I've been taking it internationally. So I've been travelling through train stations using assistance services and seeing firsthand what, like, accessibility really looks like. It taught me how important it is to have the right support and to be understood. I'm also about to start filming a documentary. I can't share the details yet, but it's, like, very personal and meaningful, and I hope it helps a lot of people feel seen and understood and reminded that their experiences really matter.
Oh, that sounds incredible, and I'm sure that will, you know, empower a lot of young people, and also adults as well. I find you guys very empowering. You know, I'm so blown away by everything I've said already, you know, just what you're doing for ADHD and for, you know, kids your age across the UK and across the world, you know, that see you and hear about your work. It's just fantastic. Like your school life, you've touched upon that already, I believe, Summer, and your daily lives, your day-to-day, how do you find that impacts you? What's something that really resonates with you with having ADHD?
So school was really tough for me. I often felt really left out, and asking for support made me feel really bad about myself at the time, when it shouldn't have done at all. So when I finally got some help, so I was offered a timeout card in school in some classrooms. It felt like it was taken away again. So I was having other pupils laugh at me, and it made me really scared to use the support I actually was given. So eventually I learned something important, and that was you have to listen to your brain and find a safe space that, like, kind of makes you feel like you belong, if that makes sense. So that was when I became homeschooled, and that's when I really started to feel like myself again, because back in education in 2022, I didn't feel like ADHD was understood at all.
No, I totally understand that. I mean, obviously, you say about being homeschooled. What would you say that's something you feel, you know, could better schools and learning environments to support children like yourself with ADHD? Obviously, you mentioned there were some things in place to help you, like reasonable adjustments in place to help you out.
I definitely feel like there should be maybe a talk in schools that having ADHD is actually a really creative thing, and it's not something to judge someone at all. Because I feel like if I had, like, someone, if we had a classroom back in school where there was, like, one talk, like, I don't know, maybe a week, about what ADHD actually is, maybe they wouldn't have judged me so hard for using the support I was given.
Yeah, no, exactly. It's all about understanding, isn't it? And I think once people can see from your perspective and you open their eyes a little bit, sometimes it's just a case of people not being ignorant intentionally. It's just a lack of understanding and awareness. And obviously that's something that you as ambassadors, you know, are bringing, which is fantastic. Okay, so what about you, Hannah? What about your school? How have you, and your day-to-day, how have you found it?
So I think for me personally in school, I felt misunderstood like throughout my entire school years, even though I wasn't diagnosed until I was about 14. Since very early primary school, I was just felt a bit different. I felt like there was something that other kids could like kind of got and were able to do that I just couldn't. I remember in primary school, I actually had quite a few teachers making fun of me for like parts of my ADHD. So, for example, I hate loud noises, like absolutely hate them. Something I think quite a lot of people with ADHD, I don't know if you can relate, like do not like them at all. And any time like there'd be any loud noise in school that like overwhelmed me, I would always like kind of cover my ears to protect myself and stuff like that. Like loads of teachers would literally publicly embarrass me in front of all the kids, which led to all the other children having like a kind of negative opinion on me and really seeing me as a bit odd and like that I should kind of be avoided. And it's something that it really stuck with me all the way through high school, and it led to me getting quite badly bullied, and it really had an impact on my self-esteem. And I ended up having to change schools because of it. So I think I'd really, as a junior ambassador, something that I'd really like to do is use this opportunity and use my voice to educate everyone so that teachers, and whether it's primary, secondary, even nursery, know more about ADHD and neurodiversity in general, especially in girls. I think girls were often diagnosed a lot later, and I think if the teachers were able to, spot the signs of it way quicker, they'd be able to help so many more children, get the support they need earlier on in life.
Oh, that's amazing, Hannah. Obviously, what you said as well, Summer. But that's so sad to hear that you went through all that. But it's great. That's the thing is that, unfortunately, you have these negative experiences to learn from them and turn them into something positive. And that's what you guys are doing again. So obviously, you probably have. I think you've touched upon it already a little bit, both of you. But ADHD has impacted you in your school life. But what about your daily life? And do you have any tips for how you navigate that? Like your relationships with your parents, with your family, and friends and your social life. If you want to go first, Hannah.
Yeah, so I'd say definitely like my biggest tip would be to just really like know your boundaries and kind of be able to distinguish like what's maybe just like testing you and pushing yourself outside your comfort zones and something that is just completely overwhelming you and is too much. I'm someone who within my daily life, I always like make sure to have, I love having a routine. It makes me feel so much more organized and productive for the day. And whatever I'm doing that day, I'll always like put in little like set break times for me, just to, even if I'm not feeling overwhelmed, just to kind of 5 minutes, sat, recollect myself, and regulate my emotions. And I think this is something that really keeps me going. I think something else about relationships is, I think with ADHD, I find it really hard to, especially in friendships, I find it really hard to kind of distinguish like between when someone's making a joke and taking it too far. I know I just touched on this, but at school, like there would be times where I would have friends who I thought were, maybe just joking with me, but they were actually being nasty. And I think even though obviously like it's not been a nice experience, it's really taught me to just kind of know my boundaries, say like it's okay to say no or stop that, I don't like it, and like really get people to know like when to like actually stop really.
Yeah, no, I know exactly what you're saying. Like everything you guys are saying just resonates with me so much, and it shows that age doesn't have a boundary when it comes to the sort of experiences you have with ADHD and, like you say, friendships. So what about you, Summer?
I feel like just navigating ADHD day-to-day life is really about knowing yourself, and honouring like what parts your brain really needs. I break it into three parts, so daily life, social life, and home life. Each one looks very different. I would say in daily life, I try to keep things pretty simple. By that I mean like I do things in small bursts instead of trying to push through everything at once, and I just remind myself that pauses are normal. Socially, I think the biggest thing for me is just connection. To surround yourself with good people who understand you on your loud days and your quiet ones. And when you're with like the right group of friends, you don't have to mask at all. So I think it's really important to find that good group of people. And at home, I try to make my space like work for me. So I have little routines and just like comfort things. I'm not really ashamed to like step away when I'm just overstimulated. But listening to your brain, I think it's really, really important. And what's really special for me is that my family will always love me for who I am. They love my funny sides, and honestly, I think I'm the most funniest one in my family.
Oh, that's fantastic. I'm sure you are. That's amazing. Having the support of your family and those close to you is so important. And again, the level of maturity and the ownership you've taken of your ADHD, both of you, and you know, all of you, has really blows me away. And so that's great to hear that you're really turning your ADHD into a positive thing. So also, you know, obviously looking into the future, Summer, what are your hopes and aspirations regarding your advocacy, ADHD UK ambassadorship?
So I want to keep taking my project, travelling, creating and speaking and using my voice to help others, with radio and like international level and documentary work. But my goal mainly is just to help people truly understand ADHD and not judge it. Because ADHD is not a weakness, it's clarity, and it's understanding how your brain works, because like you are not broken and you are not behind and you're never less than anyone else. And I never want anyone to feel like they're less of themselves just because they have it, because honestly, ADHD is such a beautiful thing to have, what Sam Thompson said in the global conference, because he's so right, it definitely is. And what I hope listeners take away most of all is that you are enough, and you are enough exactly as you are, and your story matters, and your brain matters, and your struggle matters with everything and everything you do. And differences isn't less, and it can be really amazing because it is.
Thank you, Summer. That was so lovely, and so well said, and with such passion as well. What about you, Hannah? What's your sort of what are your hopes moving forward?
So I've touched on this previously, but Summer and I are also both involved in pageantry. It's actually how we know each other, and I think combining two things, I absolutely love pageantry and advocating for ADHD. I think that it really gives me a purpose to do what I do, and I just really want listeners to take away that ADHD isn't something to be ashamed of. Yes, it has its struggles, yes, we have our differences, but ultimately that's what makes us, and I think it's something that you can really embrace in many positive and creative ways.
That's great. It's just another platform for you to raise awareness, and that's fantastic. So, what would you say to a young person who's just been diagnosed, or do you have any messages for the listeners of today's podcast to take away with them? Going from Summer?
I would say, if you've just been diagnosed, the first thing I want you to know is this doesn't change who you are, it just explains your brain. ADHD doesn't mean you're broken or behind. It means your brain is working perfectly fine, but there's just like a little difference. But the little difference is so powerful.
Thank you. What about you, Hannah? What's your message to those listeners out there?
I think that if I were to like say something to someone who's just been diagnosed, I think I'd say that it isn't anything negative. It's really just closure, and it kind of maybe explains some issues you've been struggling with. I really don't think that it's negative. I think you should really see it as an opportunity to, you know, an opportunity to learn more about yourself, embrace some of your traits about your ADHD. And I think, really, as Summer said as well, I think my biggest message I can say is honestly to just wear it with pride, your full authentic self. And I just really want people to know that ADHD, it doesn't define you one bit. My final message that I kind of wanted to say is, like, I'm so grateful and thankful to have the opportunity to become a junior ambassador. I feel like being able to meet and connect with other people with ADHD and kind of share their struggles, it's really helped me, and it's helped me learn much more about myself as a person. And I used to be really insecure about my ADHD, and it's what's helped me embrace it. And I think that if you're someone who's struggling with ADHD, I think it is a great thing to get involved in, to, you know, raise more awareness with and just really discover more about yourself.
I've literally had the most amazing time of my role as being a junior ambassador, because I know unfortunately the role of the junior ambassador is coming to an end soon for me because I am 18. But just like looking back at it, like I wouldn't be here without my ADHD. Like all the challenges I've had, like all the times I felt left out and the moments I struggled in school, like they've all shaped me into someone who's resilient and creative and passionate about helping others. I'm just so grateful for the chance to use my experiences to make a difference. ADHD is a part of me, and that's why I am who I am today.
I mean, that was incredible. So funny, I was not sure what to expect, what they'd actually been doing. And I suppose the first thing is the energy of these young people and what they're capable of. And it's a hackneyed phrase, but when I was 18, there's no way, there's just no way I would have done any of that stuff.
Honestly, they are absolutely incredible, and they share experiences about their school life as well as their personal life and how ADHD impacts their everyday. I just think that they're so open and honest about their experiences, which is going to help so many other people that are in similar situations. So many other young people be able to understand that their ADHD is a part of their everyday life. But once you get to understand yourself and understand how ADHD does impact your life, you're then able to learn, grow, and be your authentic self, as they say.
Yeah, and I think that's almost a kind of that can seem like a bit of a superficial thing sometimes, and certainly to people of sort of my age, it's all superficial, you know, authentic self, sort of, you know, kind of load of self-indulgent nonsense. But it's not. That's the point, because being your authentic self when it comes to something like this, in fact, generally being your authentic self is absolutely vital for your long-term mental health, whatever that self is, and having and accepting your ADHD, really accepting it, is an absolute vital part of that. It's not the whole thing,
Absolutely.
but it is really important. I was really struck by two things, I think. One, I was really struck by how difficult school had been, and it's eternally disappointing that school is still such a struggle.
Absolutely. It's one of those things that really struck me as well when I was listening to the podcast, was about their school experiences. And I do think, again, by them being open about this, I've not really heard any lived experiences about school life as honest as this. So for me, I was really taken back. I thought, wow, they're so incredible for actually sharing that and making other people aware of their experiences, so that if they're in similar situations, they feel less alone. Because I think sometimes, you know, if people don't share their lived experiences, it's hard to then understand what the school process is like. And for everyone, it's completely different. But for these junior ambassadors, being able to share this is just going to help so many people.
Well, hopefully, depending on who listens to it, and whether anything is done about it, and that's the crucial thing, isn't it? Still, we can but try. I think the other thing I noticed was that it wasn't. It's funny, people talk about ADHD and they talk about the hyperactivity and the concentration difficulties, but actually, the thing that both Hannah and Summer talked about was social difficulties, and that was almost the main thing. It was almost the most the biggest thing that they talk about. And I always find that so interesting, that because, you know, as a diagnostic kind of clinician, and I will diagnose people and deal with their ADHD, we don't treat social difficulties as part of the diagnostic process, and we don't actually provide any sort of therapy for social difficulties. Not that there is therapy for social difficulties, but, you know, support for social difficulties. And yet it keeps coming back as one of the main problems that people actually experience in their lives.
Definitely.
I think that's a sort of huge dropped ball by on the behalf of the medical profession. But also, I think it's really interesting, because it's not that people are autistic with ADHD, but there is something about ADHD people where you're not on the wavelength of neurotypicals, in the same way that autistic people are not on the wavelength of neurotypicals, but in a different way to autistic people, because you're also not on necessarily on the wavelength of autistic people either. So it's tricky.
100%. And it's one of those things that I think about quite regularly as well, is about the social aspect. Because for me, even, it's been something that's been a big part of my everyday life. And it wasn't until I actually found out about what ADHD was and how it impacted me that that started to become quite prevalent. And once I did understand it, it's almost like when they talked about masking, when I then found out about how I interact in social situations and that anxiety I can feel, actually, I started to notice it in the moments and was able to do things for myself. Like when on our first episode, I spoke about reasonable adjustments. I do reasonable adjustments for myself. So if I feel overwhelmed in a social situation, I'll then take myself away, just have a moment, and come back to the social social situation.
Yeah, and it is. Yeah, sometimes you just need to be out. I even earlier today, I just got incredibly restless because I've been cooped up in the house all day, and I just had to leave. And that was okay. Yeah. Fine.
That's it. Sometimes you just need to go for a walk. Yeah, go for a walk, listen to your favorite music, or like me, listen to the same song 500 times.
Yeah, no, that's not me, but never. You go straight. Now I want to know what song you've listened to 500 times.
Oh, okay. So today it was actually Best of Both Worlds by Hannah Montana.
Hannah Montana, because Hannah Montana's back, isn't it? Yeah, 20th anniversary, is that right? Yeah, so I'm down with the kids.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, that's why.
I've seen the Spotify homepage.
That's why I was listening to Hannah Montana, because they might be old songs, but when I realised that Hannah Montana
was not old
was
songs
back.
From my perspective, but fine, yeah, I know what you're saying.
Yeah,
no, but fine, it's just stuff that, but often it's stuff that in your youth that you loved is the same stuff you come back to, isn't it?
Yeah,
so there you go, Hannah Montana.
There is one song I like, which is, I would say, older, and it's, I can't remember the name of it now, but I know the tune. It's Died in Your Arms Tonight, that song. It's from like the 80s.
Died in Your Arms Tonight.
I'm about to start singing then.
You're just died in your arms tonight. Yeah, that one. yes, please. Yeah. Please.
That's a good song.
No, please don't make me sing again. Okay, that's wonderful. So that's a little insight into old songs. I think actually I was a bit surprised. I was alive when that song was came out, but it was only a few years old. So anyway. I will probably put in a little snippet of music facts at this point, because my brain does not allow me to leave alone who made that song and when it was made, but that's okay. We'll do that.
That's great. I don't know.
So it was 1986, Cutting Crew. And yes, I was a few years old. And if you're listening to it with your kids and they ask you what the lyrics mean, just change the subject. That was a public service broadcast. Other than that, I think that's it for this week. Next week or next episode, we can't promise a weekly schedule, but we are making quite a lot of progress and getting quite a lot of, we've got quite a good system ourselves. We have a interview with a clinical psychologist about memory. So come back if you want to hear more about memory. And also, hopefully, you know, this will reach a lot of people, and if you have things that we can talk about then about ADHD, obviously not necessarily music, that's fine, and then we will talk about it and we will discuss it. And if you want to get us a particular guest on, we can't talk to everyone who might want to talk to us. We've already got loads of people who are lining up to kind of come and have a chat, but if you have a particular subject that you want covered, please let us know. And we'll see by then how many times Lauren has listened to Hannah Montana. We keep a count.
Probably be another song next week or the week after.
We'll find out.
Changes.
We'll find out. All right. And that, for now, that's it. Goodbye.
Goodbye.